And let's stand and read the Word of God together. I'm going to preach a little different tonight than I usually do. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I'm going to ask you to occasionally to read a verse here, so follow along. Chapter 11, verse 7. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many, and all that cometh is vanity. Read verse 9 with me, would you please, everyone together? Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Now read verse 1 with me. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, the next several verses are some of the most unusual verses in the Bible. I'm going to read them right now. I'll expound them and explain them as I get into the message. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low, also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the, isn't this interesting, at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Let us pray. Father, we pray that you would give us something tonight that all of us would remember, that all of us would think about, and especially every young person here tonight would consider the truths of your word and how they apply to their lives. May none of us leave here the same as when we came. I pray that we would leave here changed more into the likeness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I just read to you one of the most direct passages in all of the Word of God straight to young people. Six times in the verses that I just read to you, or in this passage, the word youth or childhood is used. And the heart of the passage is clearly chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, it says, remember, look at it. Everybody look at the verse and fill in for me. It says, remember now thy Creator. Say it again. Remember now thy Creator. Now, you know, surprisingly, I remember... I don't hardly ever remember a time in my life when I don't remember this verse. My dad taught me this verse. My mother taught me this verse when I was a little bitty tyke. And I really don't remember a time when I didn't know this verse. But as I studied later on, after I became a pastor here, I had a question one day as I was studying this, and I wondered, how many times did the Bible refer to God as Creator? And did you know, this is surprising to me, but seldom does the Bible refer to God as the Creator. Now, it begins that way. It establishes that truth at the very beginning, but seldom. Only about five times in all the Word of God is God referred to as the Creator. There are actually many names for God in the Bible. And many Hebrew names for God in particular. There's the name God itself, Elohim, which is the strong, faithful one. When you see in your King James Bible the word Lord and it's all in caps, then that's telling you that that is the Hebrew word Jehovah, the self-existing one who always was, is now, and always shall be. And then there's the word El Shaddai, the Almighty God. There's El Elyon, the Most High God. There's the word Lord, that is the Hebrew word Adonai, which means the Sovereign Master. There's Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord who gives you peace. There's Jehovah Nissi, the Lord your victory. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord your provider. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord your shepherd. And one of my favorite, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. That's the word, that's how David referred to God when he was challenging Goliath. And Goliath said, "You come to me and I'll feed you to the beast of the field." And David looked back and said, "You come against me with a sword and a spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of battles who always wins the victory in battles. He is the Lord of the armies of the heaven." And that word is used primarily at critical times in history, in Israel's history. Now, let's stop and ask ourselves a question. God's directly addressing Himself to young people here. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Why didn't God use one of those other names to refer to Himself when He's talking to young people? Surely young people need all of those truths about God. They need to know that God is the strong, faithful one. They need to know that God always has been, is now, always will be. They need to know that He is the Most High God, the Sovereign Master, the one who gives peace, the one who gives victory, the one who provides, the one who heals, the one who shepherds, the one who is the Sovereign Lord of hosts. Young people need to know all that, don't they? But in particular, young people need to realize that they are not here simply because of themselves or for themselves. You are not here, young people, to live your own lives. You're not here because of yourself. You're not here for yourself. You're not even here simply because of your parents. You're certainly not here because of a lie called evolution. Poet put it like this: "Once I was a tadpole, long and thin. Then I was a toad frog with my tail tucked in. Then I was a monkey swinging through a tree. Now I am a professor with a PhD." I've seen some teenage guys that look like Neanderthal man, but that's beside the point. Young people, would you, listen to me, let it sink down deep into your hearts tonight. You are here. You are alive. You are walking around because there was a Creator who made you, who gave you your very life. In verse 7 he says, "When you die, the Spirit shall return unto God who made it." Did you know God didn't just make your body? God didn't just make your eyes, your ears, your head, your arms, your hands, your feet. God didn't just make all that. God made your spirit. One of these days, your spirit's going to return to the God who made it. Romans 9:20 says this. Listen to this. Listen. "Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Shall this cup look at whoever made it and say, why did you make me that way? I don't like the way I'm made." Well, the maker knew, whoever made this cup knew that they would need to put some kind of liquid inside there and made it just for that purpose. And the God who made you distinctly for the purposes that He has for your life. He planned some wonderful things for your life before you were ever born, before you were ever conceived in the womb. God looked down, saw you and said, "I'm going to need somebody to do this, and I'm going to make somebody to do what I need done." That means this. Listen to me. Is everybody awake? You have no right to your own life. You have God made you, and His is a prior claim. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. You didn't make yourself. God made you. He has the prior claim. He has a right to your life before you have a right to your life. So He says, remember now thy Creator. Do you know what I get tired of? I get tired of young people who say, one of these days I'll remember Him. Right now I got a lot to do. One of these days I'll think about God. Right now I've got my plans and my thoughts and my wishes and all this in the back of my mind. You don't understand. No, the Bible says, remember now thy Creator. When? In the days of thy youth. You don't wait till later. You remember your Creator right now. Now, He gives three reasons why you need to remember the Creator. And I'm going to give all three of them. You'll have my whole outline. And if you happen to go to sleep, if you already have, if you happen to go to sleep, if you write these down, you wake up, you'll know where I'm at. All right? Three reasons that young people should remember their Creator now. Number one, because old age is coming fast. Number two, because eternity will be forever. And number three, because you're going to stand before God in the judgment. Number one, old age is coming fast. Number two, eternity be forever. Number three, because you're going to stand before God in the judgment. Now, this verse, look at it again. Everybody look down at your Bible. Let me show you this. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. I remember when I was a little boy and memorized that verse. And the first part of that verse always spoke to me, but when I got to that part, it didn't make a lick of sense to me. I guess I was a grown man before I knew what it was talking about. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And I said, boy, I know what that means. I'm supposed to remember God put Him first. He's the one that made me as a boy. While the evil days come not. What in the world is that talking about? I thought, evil days? That's talking about bad days. Wicked days. But this is not the word evil in the sense of wrong or wicked. This is, get this, this is evil in the sense of uncomfortable, painful, difficult, and stressful. Here's what it means. There are young people sitting here tonight who are strong, healthy, full of life, energy, vim, vigor, and vitality. It's hard for you to sit still for an hour and a half. I mean, you come in here and you're sitting there thinking, man, are we going to get to play some basketball? Are we going to get to play some volleyball? Are we going to get to run? Are we going to get to jump? Are we going to get to do this? And you know what? One of these days you won't be thinking about that because you can't do much of that anymore. Something a lot of young people... Look, this is what God says. This is not my motivation to live for God. This is what God says. This is the number one motivation in this passage that God gives for young people to live for Him. And that is this. Old age is coming on you faster than you ever dreamed. One day, if you live, you're going to grow old. You are either going to go to a lot of funerals or a lot of people are coming to yours, one or the other. Somebody, about the time you boys quit cutting your teeth, you start losing your hair. Have you noticed that? One of these days, you guys with a bushy hair of head or head of hair are going to come out on top, create a landing strip for mosquitoes. Somebody said there are three stages of hair, parted, unparted, and departed. Some people sing, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Others sing, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll have hair. The only alternative to growing old is dying young. And those years, those old, that old age that you don't even think about right now, it's so far from your mind. The Bible says, those years draw nigh much more quickly than you think they will. You ask anybody here tonight, how many folks here tonight are in their 70s or 80s and don't mind us know it? If you don't want to lift your hand, it's all right with me. How many are in their 70s or 80s don't mind us know it? Lift your hand, all right? All right, I want you to look around you. I want you to look around you. There's a few folks here in their 70s. Let's add the 60s to that, all right? 60s, 70s, and 80s. You don't mind it? Ooh, look at that crowd. We got a crowd here. Now, you ask any of those people here how long it seems since they were young, and they will tell you, Bob Gilbert, am I right? You're in your 70s, right? Doesn't seem like any time since you were a young boy, does it? Just yesterday. You can still remember climbing the trees, can't you? You can still remember being a boy and walking down the path and kicking the rocks, can't you? You can still remember when you was a boy picking them up and throwing them in the lake and watching them, can't you? Doesn't seem like any time. Just seems like yesterday. At that time, am I right? At that time you thought, man, you didn't even think about getting into your 70s. And it seemed like, boy, those folks are in their 70s. Those are older people, aren't they? And now you're sitting there saying, I'm one of them older people. And I got here fast. And I'm praying you're shooting for 110, brother, just in case you're wondering. So that means you're not in old age. That means you're really just in middle age. Amen? It doesn't seem like any time passes since the time you were signing a note to the one you were going to marry to you're signing the forms to sign up for Social Security. Happens fast. I remember my grandmother. She was up here years ago and she died in 1988. And she was, she was 87 years old when she went to heaven. In the early 80s, she was up here and she was visiting in our home. And everything we did, she wanted to do. Everywhere we went, she wanted to go. I mean, she couldn't hardly keep up with us, but she didn't want to be left out. One day she looked at me frustrated, having trouble keeping up with everything, and she said, I want to tell you something right now. There is a little girl down inside of me that still wants to go out there and climb that tree like I used to. There's only one thing wrong. This body just won't do it anymore. When you're young, it seems like you've got forever to live. When you get older, you find out that forever was only a little while. Somebody put it like this. Just about the time your face clears up, your mind begins to go. When I was younger, I seldom thought about growing older. Now I think about it all the time. I'm 53 now. I'm over half... I'm over halfway to 100. I am in middle age. That is the time when the hairline recedes and the belly protrudes. Somebody said childhood is that time of life when you make funny faces in the mirror. Middle age is that time of life when the mirror gets even. And old age is that time of life when you just don't want to even look in the mirror anymore. Girls, listen to me. I'm going to give you girls some good advice. How many single girls here tonight? I see your hands. Single girls, I'm going to give you some good advice. Before you marry that fella, take a good look at what he's going to look like 20 years from now. Look at his dad. If his dad has furniture disease, he probably will have as well. Furniture disease, that means he's got a slick marble top and his chest is hanging over his drawers. That's what it means. And if you want to see what he'll look like in 40 to 50 years, and you probably ought to get a good look at that. You want to see what he's going to look like in 40 to 50 years? Look at his grandpa. And say to yourself, when he looks like that, am I still going to want to be... Can I get an amen somewhere out there? Guys, she may be so skinny now she has to jump around in the shower to get wet, but... Give her 20 or 30 years and that just might change. Not only that, but you may find out you'll both squeak when you move one of these days. One wife looked at her husband and said, when I'm old and gray, will you love me anyway? He said, I've loved you through four other shades of hair. I guess I'll love you when you're gray as well. It's coming on fast. There was a little girl who was sitting on her grandpa's lap as he read her a bedtime story. From time to time, she would take her eyes off the book and reach up to touch his wrinkled cheek. Then she'd reach back down and stroke her own cheek. Then she'd touch his again. And finally, she looked up at Grandpa and she said, "Papa, did God make you?" "Yes, darling," he said. "God made me a long time ago." She paused. She said, "Papa, did God make me too?" And she felt of herself again. He said, "Yeah, darling, just a little while ago." She reached up and touched him again, reached down, touched herself again. She said, "God's getting better at it, isn't he?" My wife, several months ago, was reading to our granddaughter, Janae. She was explaining that the book she had chosen from the shelf was an old book and we needed to be careful with it. My wife said, "Now, Janae, this book is 11 years older than me. See? It says it was published in 1940. Janae looked at Grandma and said, "Grandma, when were you published?" A fellow was getting ready for bed. He took out his teeth, put them on the nightstand. Took off his toupee, put it on the nightstand. Pulled out his hearing aid, put it on the nightstand. Took off his glasses, laid them on the nightstand. Started to walk away, paused, looked at the nightstand, looked in the mirror and thought to himself, "Oh my, there's more of me on the nightstand than there is left standing here anymore." There is, somebody said, "You want to know how you can tell you're growing older? Everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work." When the gleam in your eye is from the sun hitting your bifocals. When you join a health club but you don't go. When you know all the answers but nobody asks you the questions. When you look forward to a dull evening. When you need your glasses to find your glasses. I've been there. When you turn out the lights for economic reasons rather than romantic reasons. When you sit in a rocking chair but you can't get it going. When you got too much room in the house but not enough room in the medicine cabinet, that's how you know you're getting older. Now, there's going to come a time, hear me, stay with me. There is going to come a time much sooner than you think, when your powers of reason and memory will begin to fade. That's what he's talking about in verse 2 when he says, "While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened," he's talking about as the light starts to fade, he's talking about your memory starts to fade. And then he says, "Nor the clouds return after the rain." And that's talking about when you enter your second childhood. The clouds return after the rain. Did you ever see somebody going back into their second childhood? An older lady in our church over 20 years ago handed me this poem. I've had it ever since. It's entitled, "I Can't Remember." She looked at me and she said, "Pastor Davis," it was Grandma Bounds. How many of y'all remember Grandma Bounds? You remember her? Wonderful, godly lady. Been in heaven for a long time now. She handed me this poem one day and she said, "Pastor, that's me. When you read that, that's me. Here's what the poem says. Just a line to say I'm living, that I'm not among the dead, though I'm getting more forgetful and more mixed up in my head. I got used to my arthritis, to my dentures, I'm resigned. I can manage my bifocals, but oh my, how I'll miss my mind. For sometimes I can't remember when I stand at the foot of the stairs, if I must go up for something or have I just come down from there. And before the fridge, so often my poor mind is filled with doubt. Have I just put the food away or have I come to take some out? And there's times when it is dark with my nightcap on my head. I don't know if I'm retiring or just getting out of bed. So if it's my turn to write to you, there's no need for getting sore. I may think that I have written and don't want to be a bore. So remember that I love you and wish that you were near, but now it's nearly mail time, so I must say goodbye, dear. There I stand beside the mailbox with my face so very red. Instead of mailing you my letter, I've opened it instead. A child's life, somebody said, consists mainly of three things: eating, sleeping, and going to the bathroom. When you get older, that same cycle seems to come around again. You know, you guys, some of you guys down here, y'all better smile at me and watch me, because I have been watching to determine who I'm using for my illustrations here in a minute, and I got some, all right? You guys, you stand in front of the mirror, and you don't want anybody to know it, but you stand in front of the mirror and you go like this. And you think to yourself, what a body. What a body. One of these days, you'll change that tune. Instead of saying, what a body, you'll be saying, what? A body? One of these days, that guy will be... One of these days, you guys are going to be twice the man you are now. All the muscles going to turn into flab. Just give it a little time. That's what'll happen. Somebody said growing old means your broad mind and your narrow waist change places. Middle age is that time of life when everything starts to wear out, fall out, or spread out. Then it says, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Did you ever see folks, as they get older sometime, please understand me here, I'm not making fun of old folks here tonight. I'm getting close to being one, all right? But I'm going to have a little fun to communicate with our young people for a little bit. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Did you ever see somebody, their arms start shaking, and they can't stop them? And they try to... I found out now already for me, when I go out in the yard and work for a while, and I've worked really hard for 2 or 3 hours, I come in and start to sign my name and I can't hardly read it after I sign it. My hand is trembling so bad. It's come on now, look right. It just won't look right no matter what I do, it won't. It's talking about your arms and your hands. That's what you use to keep the house with. The keepers of the house should tremble. And the strong men shall bow themselves. What's the strong men? That's the strongest part of your body is your legs. That's the reason in some fighting they teach you to fight with your legs. Because and you know what happens? It's talking about the strong men bow themselves. So watch me here. In fact, I need a couple of guys. Come on, Zach. Come on, John. Come on, Levi. Come on up here. We'll demonstrate what we're talking about here with three Mr. Cools. And okay, guys, stand about on that third step right there and face the congregation. And let me see. You guys got your Bible there. And let me borrow your Bible. Make sure we're going right here. All right, guys. Now, this is a professional skit. You're being graded. And you can win or lose the competition based on how you do tonight. So I would do well if I was you. And we got when the keepers of the house shall tremble. So let's get your arms out there and let's start trembling. All right. And then what's the next? Keep going here, guys. All right. And the strong men shall bow themselves. Now, that's your legs. And see, you're standing right up straight right now. But one of these days you'll be like this. All right. One of these days you'll be... Yeah, there you go. One of these days you'll be like, come on, guys. Come on. No, don't fall down. We'll get to that in a minute, all right? But let me see what else we got here. And the grinders cease because they are few. That's like this, guys. Come on, guys. Come on. Don't have any teeth anymore. Your teeth are like the stars. They come out at night. All right. Come on, guys. Come on. And the grinders cease because they are few. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. That's You don't have it. Do you know? Did you know the older you get, the more light you have to see to read back? You have to read back. Are you laughing at me? Are you laughing at me being 53? Boy, you're going to be in big trouble. But I used to could just sit anywhere and just read my Bible. Now, I'll sit down and read my Bible, and first thing I do, I got to grab my glasses, Brother Holler. And if I can't find my glasses, I'm in trouble. I can barely read the Song of Solomon right there, and that's about 25-point type right there. And that other, that's just a blur. The rest of that's just a blur until I get these on. And then, somebody laughing at me or laughing at them. Who's laughing? Is she laughing? Who was laughing? It was her? Ooh. We may need some girls for illustrations here in a minute. Don't y'all think, amen? Would that be all right, guys? Would that be all right? Hey, I didn't tell y'all you could stop yet. I didn't tell you. Come on. Let's go. All right. We're good. All right. Y'all remember earlier in the message when I told you I'd seen some guys look like Neanderthal men, you know? All right. Let me see. The grinder cease, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. Now, guys, that's this. You can't hardly see anymore. Come on, guys. Yeah, there you go. Uh-huh. All right. Now, we're not done yet. Hang on here. All right. And let me get my Bible here. I got it all written down in my Bible. Just keep going, guys. You're all right. You keep everybody interested while I find my notes. All right. Yeah. I forgot to tell you this. When you lose your teeth, here's what happens when the grinder ceases. Because they're few, you get them false teeth and you sink your teeth into steak and they stay there. Brother, the tremendous black preacher from the Caribbean, William Connor, preached here years ago. Just keep going, guys. I'll be with you in a minute, all right? He preached here years ago. He had a set of teeth for preaching and a set of teeth for eating. I wonder how many of our folks remember this. How many of y'all remember this? We got some folks who remember this. We's at the other building over there. You guys doing all right? They're getting practice on being old. That's what they're doing, all right? Brother Connor, he dare not get his teeth mixed up. Because if he got his preaching teeth and his eating teeth mixed up, he was in trouble. He got up to preach one night, and he had his eating teeth in instead of his preaching teeth. And he started preaching and they flew out. They went flying out right in the middle of his sermon. Just went flying out. He caught them halfway out just like that. Stuffed them back in. Just kept preaching. Those who look out of the windows will be darkened. Eyesight fades. Cataracts sometimes come. The door shut in the street. The lips fall together and pooch out from no teeth. The sound of the grinding is low. You don't make much noise when you're gumming your food. It's hard to chew grape nuts without any teeth. And you rise up at the voice of the bird. That means you have trouble sleeping at night. There was a time when you could sleep through anything, but the first bird that sings in the morning, I wake you up, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. That means your hearing starts to go and deafness sets in. One of these days, you guys liable to be deaf in one ear and deaf in the other ear. Now here's guys, let me tell you what these guys are really like so you know. These guys are so tough, you don't know it, but when they blow the nose, they use sandpaper. These guys are so tough that they drink dragon milk with their Cheerios. These guys are so tough that they have barbed wire growing on the chest instead of hair. These guys, that's the reason these guys, you see them walking around here and they walk around like they got the sunburned armpits. You know? And these and the other guys sometimes think, they won't tell you this, but they think, I must be God's gift to women. Want to win? I'm going to find the right one. And what a lucky gal she's going to be. But the... Come on, guys. The truth is... Hold it, guys.
One of these days, they really are going to grow old. It says something out here. Let me show you what else it says. Verse 5, also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. The almond tree, when it's flourishing, it's covered with white blossoms, and it's talking about the gray hair. And the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail. I'll tell you something, fellas, no matter how much you try to improve on Mother Nature, you can't fool Father Time. Somebody said you can tell a man's condition if you know which he takes two at a time, stairs or pills. What did it say? They shall be afraid of that which is high. Here's the truth. I'm not making fun of anybody. I want to make a point for our young people. There are folks in our church who look at these steps and they say, no way. In fact, there are folks who look at these steps and they say, well, Zach, come here and help me get up these steps, will you? All right? And occasionally we'll have one of our, and we'll help them come up. And, yeah, okay, all right. Thank you very much. And I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm making a point here. In fact, I remember 12 years ago, I had a broken leg and folks had to carry me up these steps. They shall be afraid of that which is high. There, you'll reach a time when they say, man, you look at them steps now and you say, hey, whoa, yes, turn me loose, let me go. Good night, what's the matter with you? That's what you think right now. Been too many years since I walked the pews. I planned ahead of time to do it tonight. But one of these days you won't be taking them two at a time. One of these days, I used to preach this way. I have people ask me, why don't you preach that way anymore? I'm not young enough to preach that way anymore. I'm out of breath already. One of these days, Zach, come here. One of these days you'll look at that step. All right, now you say, good night. Come here, guys. Let's have fun. See how many steps you can take in one step. All right, do it. How many can you do? Four of them. One, two, four. All right. Levi? Four of them. No cheating. No hanging on the rail. Good, Zach. Just four. Let's have a race here, guys. Come over here. All right? We don't hardly have room to have a race in here, do we? You guys pull your legs back. All right? I don't want them tripping over you. All right, y'all line up here. All right. Pull your legs up here. There you go. All right. Put your legs up, guys. I don't want to run. Get them up. Come on. Come on, guys. There you go. That's all right. Okay. I'm watching. Here's the line. Y'all ready? Are you going to run the communion table? If you do, just knock him over. It's all right. All right. On your mark. Get set. On your mark. Get set. 3, 2, 1, go. John's our winner. Give him a hand, all right? Back here, guys. Let me tell you something. There'll come a day one of these days. John won't do that. There'll come a day one of these days, if he lives long enough, John will walk into a church like some of our blessed saints do here already. And he'll be walking slow like this, and he'll be scared to death. Somebody's going to run into him. And it's almost like, please, children, don't run. Children, could I tell you something? This is the reason you don't run in church. Right? I'm serious. Because you really can knock somebody over and hurt them. You could. Older person falls. Their hip breaks. That could be the end of their life. Or it could be months of their life in hospital and nursing home. Serene, you don't run in church. Hardly ever do you do that. One of these days, John, who won the sprint tonight, is going to... Come on, John. All right, let's see the keepers of the house shake. All right, let's see the eyes squint. All right, let's see the legs bowed. All right, let's see you walking real slow and easy. All right, look, David, he needs some help. Actually needs professional help. David, come up here. Help him here, put you. All right, here you go. All right, let's help old Brother Jones. Let's help old Brother Jones. Okay. Hold it. I did all of that to make one point. And I haven't just been... Y'all having fun? Sit down, David. I'm going to make a point here. Stand up. I'm going to make a point. I want you to get in. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, and they're here, when thou shalt say, I don't have pleasure like I used to. I hurt. I'm in pain. I can't move like I used to. And here's what too many young people say. Well, you know, Brother Davis, when I get older, I'll do something for God. Right now, I feel too good. I got too much inside of me. You just don't understand. All these emotions, all this feeling, all this strength. And what I say to you three guys, with all the seriousness of our heart, and I say to every other young person here, don't wait. Give your best years to God. Don't wait until you're old. We've had folks. Y'all remember when Clayton Foster and Forrest Crow went to our church? We were building this building. Forrest Crow would come out here. He'd pull up in that old Plymouth Fury, look over the building, reach in, get his checkbook, hand me a check for $1,000, $2,000. A lot of y'all never knew that. He did it several times. Here, Brother Davis, you're going to need that for that building. When Forrest Crow and Clayton Foster first started coming to our church, Clayton had been coming for a while. Forrest showed up and started coming. One night on the invitation, Clayton walked back to Forrest. Now, both these guys are in the 70s and 80s. Clayton walked back to Forrest Crow and said to him, when are you going to come far and do business with God? And Forrest said, well, I think I will sometime in the future. Clayton looked at him and said, at our age, you don't wait sometime in the future. You do it now. He turned and walked far to the front. Forrest, he didn't even know it. Forrest was already saved, already right with God. He's just coming to church. He was thinking about joining. He hadn't done it yet. But Clayton come back to the front, sat down, or stood back there. Here comes Forrest. He leans over to Clayton. He said, you know what? You're right. Comes forward, shakes my hand, and says, it's time I join this church. I don't have that long. Fellas, can I tell you something? You don't have that long. I can remember. I can look these guys in the eyes can remember so clearly, just like yesterday when I was your age, and the temptations and the peer pressure and the wanting to be a part of the crowd, wanting to belong. I had to go to a public school. You guys get to be Christian schooled or homeschooled. I had to go to a public school. The young people in our church got right with God in a tremendous revival that broke loose. And we started going to public school and started witnessing our friends and bringing them back to church with us. And then we took a stand for God in our community, and they pasted our names all over the front page of the newspaper and made fun of us. And it hurt. I was your age when that happened. I don't talk much about it, but I remember it very well. I remember saying, God, and this verse and a couple of other verses, 1 Timothy 4:12, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. That verse got me through my 10 years. I was reading along in my Bible one day, and that thing jumped out at me, and God said, it doesn't matter what anybody else does, you be the example for them. There's older folks in the church making fun of you. There were folks in our church, I got on fire for God, and there were folks in our church who went to the pastor and said, he's wildfire, he'll burn out. I'd love to tell them, by God's grace, it wasn't wildfire and it didn't burn out. And I came across first. I want to tell you something. It's one thing to serve God. Imagine this, guys, because this is what I faced when I was a teenager. And I know what you go through. And some of you guys have faced this as well. It's one thing to serve God when there's the peer pressure and sometimes it's not going exactly the right way, and sometimes people make a little fun of you if you really try to do right and really try to honor your parents and really sit up in church and listen and really read your Bible and pray and really want to please God. Sometimes people make fun of you. How'd you like it if the adults were making fun of you for that? That's what we had in our youth group. I remember our pastor standing up one Sunday and saying, it's time somebody got on fire for God in this church, and I'm behind our young people. Yeah. And you quit. He said to the adults in our church, you quit making fun of our young people. They're trying to serve God. And I read 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth. You are the age God wants you to be right now, because that's the age God wants you to be. You can't be any older. You can't be any younger. You can't be any taller. You can't be any shorter. You're exactly what God wants you to be. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. You set the example for this man. 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 Don't wait on somebody else to be an example. You be an example for them. In word, the words you speak, in conversation, the way you live and act, in charity, that's really caring for others. In spirit, that's having a spirit that's on fire for God and says, I want to please God. In faith and in purity. It's what Paul said to young Timothy. You be an example for them. That verse and this verse. Remember now thy Creator in the days of the... I'm going to ask you, young people, I'm talking to all the young people here tonight. Are you going to wait till you're old to serve God? Are you going to wait until you're like we were acting out here a while ago? And you're going to wait till then? Brother Bryant, the Mustics, the other preachers, Brother Brady, other preachers here tonight, we've had them. I've had them. I've had folks here in their 60s and 70s who come to church, get saved, and say, oh, I wish I'd have known this when I was little. I wish I'd have found this out when I was younger. In the last year, I won some older people to Christ. They've looked at me and they've said, oh, this is wonderful. I wish we'd understood this a long time ago. You understand it now. The opportunity is yours now, like nobody else. Don't wait till later. Remember now. Let me ask a simple question. How many here were saved after 30 years of age, or got right with God after 30 years of age, and you wish you'd have found out sooner, and you wish you'd have, your youth had been different? Stand up, will you? Stand up. You got saved after 30. You got right with God after, you wish your youth had been different. You wish you'd have found out sooner. See him?
See them, young people, look around. Thank you, and be seated. And you know what? You got it now. Young people, I'm talking to you. You got it now. You got it made now. You've got an opportunity right now. Man, good night. If anybody ought to serve God, you ought to serve God. If anybody ought to be right with God, you ought to be right with God. If anybody ought to be fire for God, you ought to be on fire for God. The opportunity is yours. It is here. It is now. In light of how swiftly, you know what? See Isaac wearing his glasses here? Got them down on his face there. Stand up and show everybody. All right? Show them what you just had. He had them glasses way down on his face like that. No, he had them like that. You'll be an old man one of these days. You know that? Question is, are you going to... Thanks, man. You can sit down. Are you going to serve God now or are you going to wait later? How about it? Young people, are you going to serve God now? You're going to wait later. Which is it going to be? Which is it going to be? You're going to serve God now or you're going to wait later? Well, how about it, guys? You're going to serve God now or you're going to wait later? What you going to do? I'm talking to y'all. I'm preaching to y'all. Did y'all get that?
Yes, sir.
The Bible doesn't say, when you're 45, serve God. It says, remember now. Hey, when I was a teenager, let me tell you a story here, guys. Y'all remind me of this. That black preacher from the Caribbean, I told you about William Connor. Tremendous man of God. 6.5 feet tall. Arms that seemed to just reach out forever and ever. Let me tell you what he said to me. I was in Northside Baptist... Excuse me, I got to prop my leg up here. I was in Northside. Y'all don't mind if I preach them for a minute, do you? I was in Northside Baptist Church in Gaffney, South Carolina. William Connor came from the Caribbean to preach in our church. William Connor had a big socket right here where an eye used to be. When he was a boy, he was working in a Coca-Cola plant on the island of St. Kitts in the British West Indies. Coca-Cola bottle shattered, went into his eye, put his eye out. He never got a dime of compensation for it. One good eye, one eye totally gone. Brother Connor came to our church and preached. I was 17, 18 years of age. I was leading the singing in our church from the time I was 16 years of age. I was sitting right on the front, right there. Right in the middle of his message one night, I've never forgotten it. It's one of the most powerful nights of my whole life. William Connor walked around the front, pointed his finger right in my face. Stand right on the edge of the platform, I was sitting right there on the front. Pointed his finger right in my face, and it seemed like it just came and kept coming. Seemed like it was right on my nose. I mean, seemed like just right on my nose. You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? His finger was right on my nose. It like it's right on... I'm glad I didn't get it in that nose, aren't you? And that finger just kept coming back. And he started preaching. He stopped. I've never forgotten it. He preached just to me. The whole crowd sitting there, he preached just to me for 4 or 5 minutes, and I've never forgotten what he said. He gave me one of the greatest challenges of my life. He looked at me and he said, Hessen Davis, you were raised in America, land of the free and the home of the brave. You've had a good education. You've learned your ABCs. You've learned to read and write. You've learned history and science and social studies and all the things that you learn in your schools here in America. He said, you got a godly dad and a godly mom. You got one of the most powerful preachers in America, Edward Maccabee, one of the foremost men of God, and you're in one of the greatest churches in the United States of America, if not in the whole world. His fingers pointing to me the whole time. He's just going like this, right me in the eyeball. Just preaching just to me. He just keeps going like that. He says, you got all these years of education. You got all this opportunity. You got all the blessings of America, all the blessings of Christianity, all the blessings of having a Bible from your childhood, all the blessings of being saved as a boy and being raised in church. I didn't mean to spit on you. And then he said, here's William Connor, a poor black boy on the island of St. Kitts in the British West Indies. Never got to go to school a day in my life. He was well educated, incidentally. He taught himself. He knew history better than almost any man I ever met in my life. He said, nobody could teach me my ABCs.
A family member sat down and taught him to read and write. He learned math. He learned history. He learned it himself. He applied himself. He said, I've never had the blessings of being in America. Never had the blessings of a Christian education. Never had the blessings of a dad and mom who knew God and taught me the things of God. Never knew what it was to have a preacher who, like you've got. And he said, by God's grace, I've built 2 churches and 5 mission points. He said, I've seen several hundred and several thousand saved. He said, S.M. Davis, God expects big things out of your life. And what he said to me that night as a black preacher to a white boy, I say as a white preacher to some black guys here tonight, God expects some great things out of your life. Don't you ever forget this night. We need some. I was with, y'all know Brother Baldwin, black preacher from Virginia. I was with him last week. A powerhouse of a preacher. He and I had a time together. He preached, I preached. We just had a blast together. Tremendous man of God. We need some more guys like him. We need you guys to stand up and count. In your youth, I've seen so many guys. I'm tired of seeing guys going to drugs and alcohol and cigarettes and booze and illicit sex and all this garbage. God, give me some young men with a backbone like a saw log who will stand for God. Amen. Who will remember now their Creator. Now, 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 now. Not when you get old. Amen. Now, in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. If this is a typical youth group crowd, let me tell you what's going to happen one of these days. I've seen it too many times. I'm tired of seeing it, Brother Brian. I don't want to see it anymore. I'm tired of Brother Mustick saying to me, I say, well, didn't you have so-and-so in your church? Yeah, Brother Davis, he's out of church. He's backslid on God. He's living with some girl and he's living in sin. I'm tired of that. He was in our Christian school for 12 years. He had every opportunity. He had a father and mother who loved God. He was in church. He had a preacher who taught him things of God. And now he's... I'm tired of that. And if this is a typical crowd, I'm looking at some guys right now that's a story we're going to hear one of these days. I'm tired of hearing that story. Give me some young people who will get a backbone and look at the world and the devil and spit in the devil's eye and say, I'm going to live for God no matter what you do, devil. I will be what God wants me to be, and I will be it not 20 years from now. Brother Bryant, one of the joys of pastoring this long, we've both seen it. I've been here 29 years and you was here before I got here. Is that we get to see some folks come back. We've seen it. In the last year, y'all don't even know it, we've seen guys who used to come here when they were kids and they've come back now. And they look at us and they say, you know what, we've messed up with drugs and booze and we got these bad habits and this and this. Give me some young people who will remember God in their youth, through their youth, into their young adulthood, into their middle age, into their old age, and in their old age look back and say to somebody. In fact, I'll tell you right now, I hadn't been perfect. You know I hadn't been perfect. I've been your pastor for a lot of years and I've had a lot of failures. I want to tell you something. I've stood for God. And you can. You can do it. Jason, you can do it. Guys, you can do it. David, you can do it. Guys, you can do it. There's not a one of you who can't. If you will, you can. You can. You can. You can. You can. Bless God, you can. If you will, you can. Amen. Remember now. Remember now, thy Creator, in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh. When thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There are 3 reasons to remember God. The first is because, what was that first point I gave you a while ago? Because old age is coming fast. Thanks, fellas. You can be seated. Give them a big hand, would you? They put up with a lot. I love you guys. Thanks. Thanks so much. The first point was what? Old age is coming fast. The second point was... eternity's forever. Let me show you the script. Where'd I put my glasses? I can't preach without them things. I'm almost done. These other 2 points will just fly right by you. All right? You find them here. Chapter 11, verse 8. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. Wow. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Listen, guys, look at me. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. is a young man. Said he was walking down the country road one day, just thinking, kicking up the dirt and thinking. You can read this in his book, Things I Have Learned. One of the greatest books I've ever read in my life was that book. Every young person should read that book. He kicking up the dust and he said, as I was walking down the road, it dawned on me, I have to live somewhere forever. He said, the Bible had said it. Mama had taught me. The Sunday school teacher told me that. But he said, it just dawned on me that day. Here are his own words. He said, I said to myself, it doesn't matter whether I want to live or not. I may prefer to die, but I can't do it. I've got to live. I've got to live as long as God Almighty lives. I've got to live till God dies. I've got to live till the angels sing a funeral dirge over God's grave. Like it or not like it, I've got to live. And since I've got to live, I better learn how to live. Could I tell you something today? You can't end your life. You can blow a hole in your head. You can't end your life. You can climb up on a building and jump off. You can't end your life. You can commit suicide like so many other people do. You can't end your life. You can overdose on drugs. You can't end your life. One of these days they'll put your body and my body to bed with a shovel and throw dirt in its face, but you will not have stopped living. Matthew 25:46, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Young people, hear me. You've got to live. Like it, don't like it, you have to do it. You have to live forever and ever and ever and ever. I've preached funerals by the hundreds, I suppose, since I've been a pastor here, and I want to tell you something. None of those people are dead. Every one of them's either in heaven or hell. You got to live. The cry of the tormented in hell is forever, and the voice of the redeemed in heaven is forever. You got to live. Old age is coming fast. Eternity will be forever. There'll be a righteous judgment when you stand before God. Verse 9. Chapter 11, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thy God. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. The world says this. You're only young once. Sow your wild oats, have a big time. When you die, that's it. Live fast, die young, have a good looking corpse. God says you're only young once. Take advantage of the opportunity to live for God. And whatever you do, remember this, God will bring you into judgment. I remember as a little boy, one day I got in trouble. And they called me to the principal's office. Oh, there was that foreboding. And I walked into the principal's office. And the principal looked at me. Could I ask you something? One of these days you're going to stand before God, not before a principal. What is there in your life tonight that you would just die if somebody found out about it? Somewhere you went, someone you went with, something you did? Every secret thing your parents don't know, every secret thing your pastor doesn't know, every secret thing your friends don't know, God knows it. God will bring it out. 11:10, therefore remove sorrow. It means anger and resentment from thy heart, and put away evil from thy flesh. Smoking, drinking, drugs, profanity, pornography, dirty movies, dirty music, dirty TV. Put evil from thy flesh. Childhood and youth are vanity. Here's what you think. You think, oh, man, oh, this is great. I feel so good. But it's not the excitement of youth that ultimately satisfies. It's a relationship with the living God of eternity. Do you have a relationship like that? Would you bow with me, please?